around me in case I got something bad, because I'm going to die in God's presence. Well, what they had done, they had taken the doors of the temple, and I need to kind of show you what this, they were, you know, like the piano doors, like on a closet? Each door had four of these things on it that swiveled. And they were covered with solid gold, and then the hinges were solid gold. These were massive doors. And the vestibule in this means the patio. So you would walk up on the patio, and you would take these doors, and they would fold within themselves, four to each door. And there was two of them. So that means eight panels. These doors, the Bible says, were slammed shut to the temple, and they no longer went in there where God was. They said, God, we don't want you. They said, God, we don't need you. They said, God, we don't even want to see the smoke rising up. God, leave us alone. And they felt like this. And here's the key. I want you to everybody look up here and get this. They felt like if they shut the doors of the vestibule that went into the temple, that God was in there and we were out here and God couldn't do anything about it. They were a little erroneous. See, God's everywhere. They didn't figure that out yet. God's like, you can't shut me up behind doors. But don't you think we think like that today? God, I'll leave you over there at church. Or God, I'll leave you over there by my nightstand of my Bible. Just don't follow me outside my doors. I'll shut the door and keep you in there, God. That's dangerous, people. And that's what they were doing here. So that was the sin, and that was the depth of the sin, as I put my glasses back on. So, they could not, they thought they could shut him out and keep him out of their lives. Look what happened. Look at the result. When we look at verse 7, they have also shut up the doors of the vestibule, put on the lamps, and have no burned incense or burnt offerings. I want to explain these to you as well. When they put out the lamps, this is significant for this word, praise and worship. People, do you realize that when you have the Holy Spirit inside of you and indwelling in you as Christians, you are the light of the world? And see, what they were saying is that, God, we don't want any more light. They don't want any more praise and worship. We don't want to speak to you, God. We don't want your light to shine. Because see, when you have a sacrifice, you have a fire. And the fire put out light. And the fire put out smell. And the fire put out smoke. And you could see God and know he was there by that smell. And by the light. And they said, no, we don't want that anymore. They put him out of their life. They put out the incense, which is prayer. Prayer was a great cloud of smoke that was symbolic of praise and prayer going up into the heights of the temple. And they said, no more! They also put out the offering. They quit offering. They quit sacrificing. So they quit praise and worship. They quit prayer and they quit sacrifice. This was a dark age, a dark time for God's people, much like today. And the sacrifice was the whole burnt offering. It meant the whole burnt offering in Hebrew, or the continuous offering. They said, we will no longer sacrifice or offer you anything. And in this time, let me give you a picture of this. They would take a whole animal, the whole lamb, the whole goat, and they would put the whole thing up on the fire. The whole thing. And they did this every morning and every evening. So every morning and every evening, the Israelites would gather together in the presence of God, and they would burn a whole animal every morning, every evening, every morning, every evening, every morning, every evening. And they said, no more. No more. God, no more. The world that is watching today needs to see a demonstration of God's love and power exemplified through me and you, the church. Amen? So they said, God, no more smoke, no more smell, no more sacrifice. We want none of you, God. And I want to give you the result. It's funny how we keep in contact with our family today. I have a niece that lives in California. And because of this new thing called Facebook, we know what they do every day, all day. All right? That's just how it goes. Well, I look on there the other day, and I see that she almost died and that she was in the hospital. I'm like, is somebody going to let me know? She got caught up in a riptide. You know what a riptide is? Riptide, you're standing there in the ocean, and there's water all around you. All of a sudden, it all goes, and it just pulls you out. There's nothing you can do. Her husband jumped in. He's a great swimmer, I guess, and saved her life, and the guy that was with her life. They were both in the hospital and everything for a long time. And as I thought about that riptide, I thought, America is kind of in a riptide right now. We said, no more God, no more prayer, no more praise and worship, which today I think we had great praise and worship. So did three of you, and praise God for that. But we said, God, we don't want to sacrifice to you. We've got sports to go to today. We've got TV to get to today. And I believe that we're in a riptide. Hear me today. This is from my heart. We're in a riptide today. And I believe we can stop the riptide through what I'm going to give you next in these next few verses. I believe it's up to me and you at Heart Cry Church to stop the riptide. That's what I believe. And I believe we can do it because we have God's Word and we believe God's Word. But I'm going to break this down for you, and stay with me if you will. The ground is suddenly going out from under our feet. A million foreclosures. If you're like me, you believe what Chuck Colson said could happen tomorrow. The ground just seems to be going away from us. Oh God, help us, show up, show us your power. 2 Chronicles 29:8, look at it. Therefore the wrath of the Lord fell upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he has given them up to trouble, to desolation, to jeering, and you see it with your own eyes. Some of your versions will say hissing. Some of them will say different words, but they all mean the same thing. So what is the outcome of a place or a people or a nation that does not stop this riptide? The outcome is terror, horror, astonishment, and hissing, as I try to give them in your vocabulary. The word terror means to be afraid. Have you ever had terror? I mean, where you go, ah! Terror. The word horror is different. I had to look it up. Horror is a wasting away of your skin, as it is written in the Hebrew in this passage. You're literally afraid that your bodies are going to be savaged with disease or ravaged with disease, and that you're going to fall apart. And then the hissing here is what others did to the Jews as they mocked them. They said, oh, you guys are God's people? Hiss. What about you today? People hissing at you? We live in dark days. We live in hopeless days apart from Christ. But here's the good news. Let's end with this. How do we see God's power? How to see God's power? Are you ready to see God's power? I am. And I looked right here in this scripture and I've seen God's power show up. See, Hezekiah, he's only 25 years old, but he looks back to Deuteronomy 28 and he realizes as the president or the king of this nation, he realizes that he needs to do something. And as he looks back in the Bible of the Old Testament, he sees Deuteronomy 28 where it says, you'll either be blessed or you'll be cursed. And Hezekiah says, I want to be blessed. I'm tired of being cursed and hissed at. And he reads Deuteronomy 28 and God honors that and God stops the riptide. Men and women, hear me today. We cannot attempt by ourselves to attack all the evil that we see in this nation today. We'll never get to that. But listen to me today. Listen to me this morning. Let me show you something. What we can do is look within ourselves. When I watch the news and I watch History Channel and I watch everything, I say, oh Lord, what are we going to do? And he says, look at yourself. Now I want to show you what I practiced this week. If you're here today, go like this. I guess I did it like this. Can you do your hands like that? I'm going to challenge you. And men, I thought I was preaching to you today, but I'm preaching to everybody today. Go like this. You know what that does? That leaves you a place to put your nose when you lay flat on your face at your in your carpet or on your tile so you can breathe and cry out to God. Cry out to God. Lay there and just cry out to God and say, God, help me. And I want you to breathe. So go like that. Cry out to God this week. Look at ourselves. Quickly, let me show you how to see God's power. 29:10. Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord of God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. In other words, God, I need to see your power and stop the riptide. Number one, quickly, look at it here. Look at it here. When God's men take responsibility for their personal purity. God, how do we stop the evil? God, how do we see your power show up in our lives? God says right here, when God's men take responsibility for their personal purity. The word here jumped out at me when I read it. Read it. 2 Chronicles 29:5. And he said to them, hear me, Levites, now sanctify. The word in Hebrew is kadosh, 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 kadosh. Set apart, distinctly different. It meant to be for the use of God and God alone, to be separate from everything else. Listen to me. This is a word to me as your pastor. This is a word to our staff. This is a word to the leaders of the church. This is a word to the members and fully devoted believers. It says to be sure your personal purity is in order. This is a word for us because we live in a day of an incredible impurity world, if that makes sense. The world that we live in today is incredibly impure, so it behooves us to check ourselves and to lie down and cry out, God, am I pure in all ways? Cry it out. God, am I pure in all ways? And tell the Lord to forgive me of my sin, of every area in my life that brings impurity. When you're crying out this week, Lord, forgive me for every area that I've been impure. Stand before God and worry about His standard. Don't worry about your standard. Hear me today. He has an incredibly high standard. And if we ever here at Heartcry want to see His power fall on young people of this church and of the community around this church, we have got to stand pure before God and to strive to live in purity before God. And secondly, if we're going to see God's power, we must notice that we'll see His power when God's men take responsibility for the purity of God's house. For the purity of God's house. There's a really neat scripture in 1 Corinthians, 3:16. It says, do you not know that your body is the temple of God? With that in mind, let's look at the temple back in the Old Testament time. When God's men take responsibility for the purity of God's house, you are God's house. Amen? If you're a believer in God, you're God's house. But in the scriptures in 29:5b, it says, sanctify the house of the Lord your God of your fathers and carry out the rubbish from the holy place. What was removed, number one? What was removed? I'm not sure if you have that or not. What was removed? If you look at 2 Kings 16, if you have a copy of God's Word, put your finger in 2 Chronicles and then go left and go to 2 Kings. I preached this about a year ago. I was looking at my notes. 2 Kings 16 and verses 10 through 19 show you what was in God's house. See, this is a couple hundred years before. If you're in 2 Kings and now you go to 2 Chronicles, this is about 100 and something years, not quite 200 years prior. So we're going to find out why the doors were closed. What was in God's house? Well, we find out that King Ahaz went to Damascus to meet what I call TP, King of Assyria, Tilgath-Pilneser. You say that real fast. His name's TP. And he saw an altar that was at Damascus. So King Ahaz sent Urijah, the priest, to design the altar. He saw a pagan altar and he said, I don't want to have God's altar like I have it, like Moses made it. I want it to be cool like their altar. So he had it completely destroyed. It says in here, if you'll read it, he took God's altar and moved it to the north of the building out of sight. And they made this whole brand new temple to look like a pagan place. Going back to 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you look like the world? Or is your temple what it's supposed to be like God? But we read in here all this stuff, and go through there and read that one day. But that's what we're referring to here. They had to go clean the temple. And what they removed was pagan tradition. There are things in God's church that need to go that have no place here. Not only physically in this, but in us, God's temple. They have no business here. And one thing was tradition. That's what we read here. We have to continually be careful not to just fall into tradition, just to do it because that's how they did it. Why do we do what we do as Christians? Hopefully it's based on God's Word. They have been sacrificing wrongly for hundreds of years, and there's some stuff that needs to go before God shows a demonstration through His people. Quickly, what else? Number two, I want to show you what was destroyed. 2 Chronicles 29:19. Look at that. It's on the same page. Moreover, all the articles which King Ahaz in his reign had cast aside in the transgression which he had prepared and sanctified, and there they are before the altar of the Lord. What was destroyed was praise and prayer and sacrifice, remember? They needed to bring that back. What was destroyed was gone. We need to bring these back to us. We need to bring them back. The world is watching. And if we'll have praise and prayer and sacrifice, we will show them God's love and power. It's awesome. It's awesome. And I want to show you what they purified. In verse 18, they went into the king Hezekiah and said, "We have cleansed all the house of the Lord, the altar of burnt offerings with all the articles, and the table of showbread with all its articles." They put praying and calling out to God back. And they went all over and did that. When was the last time here at Heart Cry, hear me today, when we all got on our face and cried, "Oh God, visit us and bring this town and community and this church into revival"? You want to see God's power? You want to see evil go away? We need to be a people with a passion to see God move and work in our own lives. And I also want to show you this. I kind of skipped over it because I am going a little fast, but that's okay. When we look at this, how when they took responsibility for the purification of God's house, it took 8 days just to get to the doorway. That gold doorway I explained, it took 8 days just to get to there. I cleaned out my barn this week, or a couple weeks ago. JD, you saw it before I cleaned it. It only took me like 4 hours. And you couldn't even hardly walk in my little barn. But in 4 hours, you could get in there and look pretty cool. Looks, at least you can see what I got now. It took them 8 days just to get to the door of the temple. How much garbage is in 8 days? A lot. A lot. And then it says it took another 8 days to get inside, once they got inside, to get to the table where the incense and the showbread was. 16 days of Molly Maids just to get to where God was. How much garbage had they stacked up? How much garbage had they put before God? And before you get too, you know, anxious to answer that, how much garbage have we put before God in our life, so that we wonder, where is God's power? How do we see God's power? We got to clean it to get to it. I just thought that was interesting. 16 days of cleaning. I know if we have people over, it takes 3 or 4 days to clean our house. My wife, you know, she wants to get everything clean. But 16 days? That's a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. Finally, number three, we want to see God's power. We'll see God's power when God's men take responsibility for calling men to worship. Amen. That's right. I hope to get an amen on that. 2 Chronicles 30, verses 1 through 27. And before you go, "Oh no, that's a lot," I'm going to break it down very fast. Some of you got real scared. But I want to show you just a couple passages about calling men, about calling other men to worship. Look at verse 1. "And Hezekiah sent to all Israel in Judah, and also wrote letters to Ephraim and Manasseh, Joseph's sons, that they should come to the house of the Lord of Jerusalem to keep the Passover to the Lord of God of Israel." Now, don't admit to it if you did, but if you saw the movie Avatar, there's a scene in there where he shows up and he says, "Write letters and go get everybody you know to come help us keep our country." It's much like that. Hezekiah calls everybody and he says, "Guys, we've got to come together and unite. We've got to come together and unite." It says in verse 2, "For the king of his leaders and all the assembly in Jerusalem had agreed to keep the Passover on the second month." If we want to see God's power, we must get and take responsibility to get other men to worship. But I want to show you the three things that he's calling everybody to do. Look at verses 6 through 8. The three things that we have to do here at Heart Cry. Verse 6 says, "Then the runners went out through all of Israel and all of Judah, with the letters from the king and his leaders. And they spoke according to the command of the king, children of Israel." Number one, return, which is the word repent. Repent. Return to the Lord of God, of Abraham and Isaac and of Israel. Repent. Number two, yield. Keep reading. "And he will return to the remnant of you who have escaped from the hand of the kings of Assyria." Verse 8. "Now do not be stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves to the Lord." Yield yourselves to the Lord. I looked that up and it says the word yield means to give the Lord your hand. To give the Lord your hand. Remember, these were a people that was 16 days of cleanup just to get to where God was. And he's telling them, Give God your hand. Do you guys remember Elvis Presley? Put your hand in the hand of the man that can steal the water. I think he got it out of this scripture. Some of you will get that at McDonald's over lunch. I do. Put your hand in the hand of the one that can steal the water. Yield yourself to God. So the Bible says if we will repent and if we will yield. And number three, it says serve. Look what it says right there, verse 8. Yield yourself to the Lord and enter His sanctuary with His sanctified, which He has sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of His wrath may turn away from you. What if we did this as a church? What if when we met with people, we talked about repenting, yielding, and serving? And instead of starting with the whole community of Queen Creek, what if we just started with the roles of this church? I had a big what if moment the other day. And what if we started calling them and contacting them and talking to all the members of the roles of this church, and we started asking them to repent, have a repentant heart, and to have a yielding heart, and to serve Him? And then as I read that, I got to thinking, you know why we don't do that? I have the answer why we don't do that. It's in this text. Look at 30 verse 10. So the runners passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh as far as Zebulun, but they laughed at them and they were mocked. They laughed at them and then they were mocked. But read the next verse. But nevertheless, some from Asher, Manasseh, and Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. Some humbled themselves and came. Wow. What did they come to? 21 says, they came to great gladness. 23 says, they came to feast another 7 days with great gladness. Keep reading. 25 says, the whole assembly of Judah rejoiced. 26 says, so they were all with great joy in Jerusalem. What they came back to was what we need to show the world today. God can bring us great gladness and singing and rejoicing and great joy. See, we just might see some people come back to Jesus Christ for the first time. Yesterday, I want to make a point to this as I close. I was a woman that was sharing with me what God was doing in her life. I actually had led her to Christ several years ago and actually baptized this woman. And in a crowd yesterday of many people, I asked her what God was doing in her life because she had moved away. And as she unpacked what God had done in her life, I was blown away. God has done amazing things in her life. Very strong Christian woman. And as I talked to her, I started looking around at all the people around us, and I saw very puzzled looks on people's faces. Because me and her were talking about God. And as I looked, I was at a horse sale auction. I looked around, and it was as if people were looking at me and her like a calf looking at a new gate. Amen. Some of you will get that. And I thought, just for a second, and then I thought, who cares? Who cares what they think? Because you know what? They all got it. They all heard it. Who cares? Who cares? And how do we know who will come to the Lord because of that? What I see in these passages are a great unity. I don't see bumps on a log. I see great joy. How about you? What do you see? My prayer is this morning that we as Christians will do what the Word says and stop this riptide. But we will first look at ourselves. Will you bow your heads with me this morning? Father, we love You. And Father, I just want to thank You right now for putting this in front of me, because it starts with me. And Father, I pray that we would take this serious, Because, Father, I pray that your power would show up in our lives. And I pray that the world that is watching would see a demonstration of God's love and power exemplified through us, the church. Father, I also believe that you'll never do anything great through us till you do something in us. And I pray that today is the day you do something in us. And it starts with our personal purity, the purity of our church, and the purity of our worship with other believers. Father, I pray right now that this is a time of decision. And I pray that if there's somebody here today, you would, Lord, John 6:44 says that you would go to them and right now speak to them and invite them. Invite them to come meet Jesus, to receive Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Father, I know there's people in here with this many people here today that haven't done that yet. And I pray, Lord, that today would be the day of the courage and boldness that they would do that. Father, I also pray that before we take the Lord's Supper and communion, you warn us, Lord, to make sure that we're right. So, Father, I pray that today would be a time that families would be right. And as a big family at Heart Cry here, we would all be right with each other. So, Father, I open up these altars today just to pray for one another. Father, show up and show us your power. Father, we love you. Father, we need you. In Jesus' name I pray. Will you stand with me this morning? God has spoken to your heart. Your heart's probably beating and you're kind of anxious. God's speaking to you today. Maybe you just need to pray. I'll be up here available and the other men will be up here if you need to pray. Families, if you need to pray before we take communion, make sure you're right. But it's a time of prayer. And I'm going to ask my family to come up and pray with me quickly. And then if you're here today and want to receive Christ, come and see me in just a moment. Will you do that? Let's pray. Pray for those around you. Will you come? Today and you need Christ as your Savior, you need to pray, will you come? We won't tarry long, but will you come? Will you come? Let the healing begin today. Will you come? Prepare to take the Lord's Supper. I'll ask the deacons to come forward that Dan has spoken with that we're going to help to do that today. You may be seated where you are. I'm just going to read the passage. 1 Corinthians 11. Paul was first visited by Christ and he's told how to usher into the Lord's Supper. And I've already told you it's a time where you want to be right with God and know that you're good with God. But I'm going to read the scriptures and the deacons are going to pray and then pass this out for us. Paul says in 11:23 of 1 Corinthians, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, that same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread." The Bible says, "And when he had given thanks, he broke and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" The Bible says, "In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup, right here,' he said, 'this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And for as often as you eat and eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. He goes on to tell us how we should examine ourselves. So today, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, we have open communion. If you're a believer in Christ, we ask you to partake with us. If you're not a believer, maybe young person or old alike, we ask you just to pass it by, and we'll be praying that one day you too will see why we do this. So Dan, if you'll take the bread and pray over it, pass it to us.
Just a quick moment to show you the bread we're taking today. This is just matzah bread. This isn't magic. It doesn't turn into to God. It doesn't turn into the body of God like some believe. It's a piece of matzah. If you look at it, you can see through this. This represents that Christ was pierced for our sin, that he suffered on the cross for each and every one of us. And it said in Scripture, as the pastor read, that he took this bread and he broke it. And when he broke it, he said a prayer over it. So today we're going to take this like he told us, and he said to do this in remembrance of him.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we come today, Lord, just to celebrate you and to celebrate this commandment that you gave us to remember what happened and remember that you have shed blood for us, that you have suffered on the cross, that you were pierced for our sins, our transgressions.
That's right.
Lord, we just thank you for that symbol that we come today and pass this out that we can all remember what you've done for us. Father, we ask all this in Jesus' precious name.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond the measure, that he would give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mark the chosen one bring many sons to glory.
Service. And moreover, in this time, you would hear the sound of idols crashing down.
That's right.
The shelves of our lives. And we ask you, Lord, to come in and to sweep away the rubbish. Assume your rightful position as Lord of all of our lives.
That's right.
May you receive the glory for this, Lord, and the honor and the power forever. Bless this time, Lord. In Jesus' name,
amen. In the same way as with the bread, Jesus said, take this wine, he said, and do this in remembrance of me as well. Amen. At this time, thank you everybody. You can pass those to the middle aisles. This time I'm going to ask the ushers also come forward as we worship in offering. We're going to worship with our offerings and gifts today. And then after that, we're going to be dismissed with some powerful praise and worship. Like we learned today, so it'll be awesome. As the ushers come.
I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom. But I will boast in Jesus Christ. His death and resurrection.
You will? Father, we thank you for this time. And Father, as we reflected on you today, how to see your power, we also reflected, Lord, how to make you God of our lives. Father, as we do that in obedience, we give back to you a portion of what you've given to us. And I pray, Lord, that you'll multiply that so that we can reach and teach men and women, boys and girls for Christ, and continue ministering to those in need. Father, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
gain from His reward. I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His words have paid my ransom.